when you get to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you're going to see a mighty truth here in this passage, and we're going to look at two other passages and look at some mighty truths tonight on how to change your circumstances. As children of God, we have a right and an access to something that no one else in this world that's lost has, and that is the opportunity to worship and praise and adore and lift high the marvelous, mighty Jehovah God of this universe, the one that created it all, the one that gave his son for mankind, the one that let him die on a cross and resurrected him, and then chose to give us life. He thought so much of us. He thinks about you daily. David said in the Psalms that his thoughts towards you are innumerable. Has it ever dawned on you that God thinks of you more than you think of him? You cannot count in the day how many times God thinks about you. David says it's innumerable. A God like that deserves to be worshipped and praised. And when a God like that is worshipped and praised, it will change your circumstances. When you get to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Judah here is in the midst of a serious battle. Now you got to remember that Israel was one nation through the kingship of Saul and David and Solomon. But after the reign of Solomon, the kingdom was divided into two kingdoms, a northern kingdom Israel, a southern kingdom Judah. Study your history books of the Bible through the Kings and Samuel and Chronicles. You find out that the northern kingdom Israel had 19 kings in that divided kingdom. And every one of those 19 kings did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. What a day that must have been in Israel. And in the southern kingdom, Judah, you find there were 20 kings in that divided kingdom era, whereof 12 did evil in the sight of the Lord, and only 8 did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And one of these kings is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and that is King Jehoshaphat. And now he's facing a serious battle in his day, and the Bible says, verse 1, 2 Chronicles 20, "And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side, Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat," what's the word? "Feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord." Verse number 20. "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord hid himself from Judah." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord shut up his ears of compassion. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Brother Gus, Judah has not raised one spear. They've not taken out one sword. Brother Joe, they've not lifted one hand. They have not even thrown one javelin. Brother John, the enemy's been slain. I believe tonight that you can change your circumstance with a praise and a worship before the Lord. Jehoshaphat had enough sense before God Almighty, Brother Earl, to say, okay, this is how the battle's going. We're just going to walk toward the mount. And as we go, you're going to sing? Yeah, we'll let you sing. You're going to sing? You're going to sing? You're going to sing. You're going to sing and you're going to sing. And we'll even let you sing, my brother, as we go toward the mount. And they began to sing. Brother Richard singing and worshiping as they approached the mount. Hadn't raised one sword. Hadn't thrown one javelin. Haven't even lifted a hand to fight. And they've already been smitten. Can you change your circumstances in the midst of your day, in the midst of your turmoil, in the midst of your fear? Can you change your circumstances? Yes, you can with the praise. God's people did nothing to deserve God's touch outside of lifting their voices in adoration. Let me say, praise is not an assembly thing. Praise is not a congregation thing. Praise is not a church thing. It is a supernatural thing that comes from the heart. It is a condition of the heart. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. John 4:23-24, Jesus said, but the hour cometh and now is. Boy, I believe that's true. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Psalm 22:3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. There is something, Brother Don, supernatural and powerful about praise before God. Heaven is a place of praise. All around the throne of God, Brother Joe, at this very moment in eternal time of the heaven of heavens, the angels bow before the throne. Seraphims fly about the throne, crying out, holy, holy, holy. The eternal saints of all the ages have filled its ranks, and they cry holy to the Lord, and they sing the glorious song of grace in heaven. And God adores the very worship from his throne. But let me say, when a saint of God, Brother Richard, on this earth, saved by the grace of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, lifts his voice, lifts his heart, lifts his hand in worship and praise, God takes notice. He inhabits the praise of his people. Boy, heaven pays attention. And let me say that praise to the crowd out yonder watching by internet, praise is not a Pentecostal thing. Praise is not a charismatic thing. Praise is not a Baptist thing. Praise is a Bible command. It is for the saints of God, regardless of your denomination. Praise is a Bible command. I got a lot of scripture from Psalms to back it up, and I'll not preach for 2 hours, but I believe it's still in the Bible, Brother Earl, that God's people are commanded to give God praise. And when God's people give God praise and worship and adoration, God moves in the midst for them. You say, can you prove that from the Word of God? I sure can. Three things, three scriptures. And then we'll go home and y'all can go watch your TV, amen. But I've been so thrilled about this all day, Brother Joe. Because just a little moment of praise and a little moment of worship can change your circumstance. Can take you out of your circumstance. Set you into heavenly, a heaven of heavenlies before the throne of God. You say, what can praise do? What will worship do for the saint of God? Number one, praise will destroy the enemy that burdens us. Praise will destroy the enemy that burdens us. The first time you see the name of Judah is in Genesis 29. And Judah means praise. And in Genesis 29, you're at the place where Jacob has left home in fear. He's running from his brother Esau, and he runs to Laban, and he sees Laban's youngest daughter, Rachel. Wow, y'all are failing. And he sees her, Brother Joe, and he looks upon her, and he says to Laban, I want her. She is fine. She is fair. I want her. And Laban says, 7 years, buddy. 7 years. How would you like to work 7 years to get yourself a wife? And Jacob worked 7 years in hope and anticipation of Rachel. And then the trickster, Brother Don, gets tricked. And he gets usurped. And when he goes in, he finds out that Laban has tricked him and taken him. And there is Leah. And she's not the fair one. She's not the favored one. She's not the one that stole his heart. And Leah gives herself to Jacob, and so loving him, gives him three sons, Simeon and Levi and Reuben. And every one of them, Brother Joe, she's thinking, and now he will love me. Now he will turn his heart to me. And not so. Madison, the one that was barren, Rachel, is the one that Jacob loves. The one that had nothing is the one that he adores. And yet Leah, with her heart set on Jacob, says, if I can give him another son, maybe he'll turn his heart to me. She's burdened down. She's burdened by the thought that she's unaccepted. She's not favored. And I don't know what burdens you tonight. But if you can get to the place where Leah got, she bore him a fourth son. And that fourth son, Genesis 29, and I believe verse 52, and she bare him a son and named him Judah. And she said, for my praise is going to the Lord. And she left off bearing. She said, even if he doesn't favor me, still I'll praise. Even if he doesn't accept me, still I'll worship. Even if he doesn't love me, still I'll give God glory. You can change your circumstance. Your praise will destroy the enemy that burdens you. Your praise will destroy the enemy that burdens you. It may be the enemy of insecurity. Young people, listen to me. I know well in this day, I've done this thing for almost 33 years, Brother Earl. And when I started out, Brother Joe, like you, I never thought I'd see the days we see. I never thought I'd see a day when young people were so insecure, when young people would believe a lie over the truth, when young people would be insecure in what God had made them. How did we ever think there would be a day when a young man, 8 years old, would sit in school and wonder if he's a boy or a girl? But it's not the children, it's not just the children, Brother Joe. There are adults all across the congregation, all across American churches, all over this country tonight, Brother Richard, that the enemy of insecurity has them burdened. The enemy of jealousy has you burdened. The enemy of pride has you burdened. The enemy of arrogance has you burdened. Everything within that burdens you can be broken and destroyed by praise and adoration. Praise will destroy the enemy that burdens you. Number two, praise will destroy the enemy before you. Now, it's evident right here in this passage of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that praise can destroy the enemy that is before you. Because once again, we see that as they worshiped along the way, Brother Steve, as they worshiped along the way to the mount, they praised God, they lifted holy hands, they cried out unto the Lord, "Blessed be the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." That's a psalm and a song of Israel. It's found all out throughout the Psalms, the songbook of Israel. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. The enemy before you can be slain by one act of praise. David walked down through the valley, grabbed him up 5 stones out of the brook. Harrison, he grabbed up 5 stones, walked down toward Goliath, down there in the valley, and he said all the way, "Lord, the battle's not mine. It is thine, and I'm just going to praise you that, Lord, you've done delivered him into my hand." One praise, one adoration, one worship can destroy the enemy that's before you. What's your enemy, mom and dad? What's the enemy? For some, it's a child gone astray. For the child gone astray, one moment of praise can destroy that enemy that's taken them, Brother Joe, and bound them and drawn them aside. One act of worship, one act of praise can destroy the enemy of fear before you, the enemy of dread before you. Jehoshaphat, the Bible says that he feared. That he feared. No doubt he's in fear, Brother Don. There's at least 4 nations coming against him. And Israel's not up to par to defeat them. Israel's not set for the battle, Brother Joe. What else is he supposed to do? I didn't take time to read all the scriptures, but Brother John, he did what any good king and leader ought to do. He sought the Lord. He sought the Lord. Oh God, now there's an enemy before me, and Lord, you got to help me and tell me what we're supposed to do. Well, God answered, "I'll tell you what to do, Jehoshaphat. Why don't you worship me a minute? Why don't you give me some praise for just a minute? Why don't you adore me? Tell the people to worship me. Tell the people to praise me and see what I can do. Because Jehoshaphat, this isn't yours." When the battle is both yours and the Lord's, you're set for defeat. But when the battle is the Lord's, and you take your hands off of it and say, "Lord, I'm going to worship you in the midst of it," then you give him an opportunity to work. The battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. And he will fight for you, the enemy before you. Praise will defeat the enemy that burdens you. Praise will destroy the enemy before you. And then from the New Testament, praise will destroy the enemy that binds you. Where's that in the New Testament, Brother Tom? I think some smart Bible scholar could probably beat me to it. But in the book of Acts, in chapter number 16, somebody was about to say it. Paul and Silas, Brother Don, are in prison. And they're not in prison because they murdered somebody. They're not in prison because they tore the city of Philippi apart. They're not in prison because they raided and pillaged. They're in prison, Brother Joe, because they preached the word of God. They've done right before the eyes of the Lord. They've stood for the cause of Christ. They proclaimed truth to the city of Philippi, and they are in prison for serving God. There may come a day, Brother Joe, in our life, if the Lord don't soon come and this nation goes the way it's headed and continues to go there, Brother Richard, there may come a day when men of God, Brother Joe, across this country, we may go to prison for standing for the cause of Christ. My prayer is that the Lord will come back before we have to do that. But I sure want to, Brother Don, be bold enough to stand and say, God's my God. He's the one that's worthy of my worship. He delivered my soul. He set me free. He called me into the ministry. He's changed my life. And if it means going to prison, Brother Paul, if it means going to prison for the cause of Christ, then how can I be any greater than the Apostle Paul? If God says you're going to go to prison for serving me, then let it so be. He's in prison with Silas for giving God his best. And long about midnight, the Bible says, Paul and Silas changed their circumstance. They destroyed the enemy that had bound them by praise and prayer. Their chains were loosened. The shackles came off. Matter of fact, the whole jailhouse got rocked. Every one of the prisoners' shackles came off. And God walked through. And the jailer came down and the Bible said would have killed himself. He knew, Brother Earl, that if one prisoner had gone, he was responsible. It would be death. And Paul said, sir, do thyself no harm. We're all here. And Paul got the glorious opportunity, Brother Steve, to walk into the jailer's house and win him and his house to the Lord. Brother Joe, can I say that praise will not just destroy the shackles that bind you, but praise can unshackle the chains on some other sinner. So I don't believe that, Brother Tom. Why don't you walk through Walmart one day and give God praise and look at one of them young ladies at that register and say, I just want to tell you, there's a God that I worship and I praise, and he loves you and he can set you free. We got the opportunity Sunday night. We went out to supper after church Sunday night and went to IHOP. And we took the speaker out and having a good time at IHOP and enjoying the presence of the Lord and fellowshipping. And right before we got ready to eat, Brother Earl, we looked at our little waitress. I won't call her name. Beth and I have been praying for her all week, Brother Don. Looked at that little waitress. We said, honey, we're going to pray over our meal. Is there something we can pray over you for? We're going to give God glory and we're going to thank him and we'd like to pray for you. Brother Steve, that young lady, 17 years old, working two jobs to support her, her mom, and two siblings. From 7:30 a.m. Sunday morning till 10:30 Sunday night in IHOP, that 17-year-old girl, Brother Richard, broke down crying. She's a weeping, Brother Don. I said, honey, what's in your heart? She starts pouring out her heart to us. Brother Earl, she's pouring her heart out to us. And we stopped and we prayed for her. Been praying all week that God would bring her to church. So it was useless, Brother Richard, for me to tell her Jesus loved her and not show some compassion. And by the good grace of God, God had blessed me Saturday and I had a bill in my wallet. And when she come by, I wrote my check out and signed that little paper, gave her a very hearty tip right there, Brother John, very hearty tip, handed her the paper. And then I handed her my business card from church, and I handed her the money that was in my wallet. And I said, honey, Jesus loves you and your family. And I want you to know there's a church that has the power of God on it that loves you. And I'm going to be praying for you. Brother John, she broke down a second time. She broke down a second time. She's a crying. And then Brother Barry and Miss Lily were with us. And Brother Barry gave her a hearty tip. And she started crying again. Gus, she looked at us. She said, sir, can I hug you? I looked at my wife. No, I really. I said, honey, come here. And I hugged her, Brother Earl. And I said, Jesus loves you. I sent her a text every day of this week. Told her Jesus loved her. I said, honey, I'd like to see you in church. She texted me today, Brother Earl. She said, I was going to come, but I got called to work. But Lord willing, I'll be there next Wednesday night. Church, I'm praying, Brother Don, I'm praying God takes her shackles and looses her and her family. Because praise can defeat and destroy the shackles that bind you. Whatever it is. I don't know what's binding you. I don't know what has you bound. It might be an addiction. I'm not going into all that. I know we all have our issues. But whatever it is that binds you, God wants to loose you. You say, how can I do that, Brother Tom? You don't understand what I'm under. You don't understand what's got us so burdened down. I'm reminded that Paul said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. In, not for. I don't give God thanks for the things that come to my life that burden me and bind me and press me. But Paul said, in it, find something to praise God for. I remember very well, I'm done. If the ladies have come up here and I want them to sing this song for me. I remember April 30th, 2015 very well. For most people, Brother John, that probably doesn't mean nothing. But I remember it very well. Brother Joe, I remember that night. All night long that Wednesday night in Emory Hospital. I remember praying and saying, God, now you know, Lord, you can't be done with my dad. Brother Joe, I remember that night well. Lord, you can't be done with my dad. Lord, please touch him. Doctors were planning to do a surgery on my dad and go in and take out the part that had closed off his heart. And I'm a praying, Brother Richard. Begging God, let my daddy live. It so happened to be that same night that the room my dad was in, Brother Joe, was one floor above where Miss Fran Padgett was in Emory Hospital. My dad was on the third floor. Miss Fran was on the second floor, directly in the room under my dad. Many of y'all remember when Miss Fran had that stroke. About 4:15 in the morning, Brother Earl, the Lord chose to take my dad. And I remember praying by the door. Now, Lord, if you'd just be good to Tom and Tommy, Lord, would you let Fran live so Tommy don't have to live without his mother? And God heard my prayer, Brother Richard. And I was standing there weeping, Brother Steve. Standing there trying to think of a way, Brother Wade, trying to think the best way to tell God I still love you. I still adore you. I don't understand this, Lord. My best friend was sitting there beside us. Brother Earl, you can testify to this. While I'm trying to figure out what to say to God, Brother John, my boy gets down on the floor. And he starts calling out to the Lord, and this is what he said. Lord, I want to thank you for all the days that I got to be with Pawpaw. I want to thank you for all the hours that he invested in my life. I want to thank you for every moment that I heard him preach the word of God. Brother Don, right there in Emory Hospital, God walked through. Because a little 15-year-old boy had more sense than his daddy. And he understood that if he just give God some praise in the middle of the burden, that God would get the victory. Standing there, and my boy is on the floor, Brother Gus, calling out to God. Anybody that's been in the hospital knows when they call that code, you're going to get doctors and nurses and police officers in the middle of your family. Brother Earl, two police officers walked on that floor. And they were standing on each side of me, two officers standing beside me. And that's one officer looked down and saw my son calling out to God. And he looked at me, he said, I don't guess y'all need us, do you? I said, no, sir. No, sir. Everything's all right because the Father's passed by. I don't know what's burdened you. I don't know what's before you. I don't know what's binding you. But if you can praise Him in the midst of it, He'll destroy your enemy.